$1 million in money spent. The whales were free. And the heroic and the noble rescue of these three whales sparked compassion all over the world. And I wonder, when I read a story like that, if we as human beings are as willing to, if we're as willing to go to such lengths to save three whales, how much more wholeheartedly and how much more invested should we be in the lives of the people that are around us? How much more invested should we be in human beings? How much more invested should we be in the lives of people inside the church and outside the church? Well, I mean, I think the answer is self-explanatory, right? I think that we can agree that we should be invested. We should go to great lengths. I mean, we know that there is a world that is outside these doors that needs to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We know that. We have the gospel. We have the good news, and it is incumbent upon each and every one of us to share that knowledge with this world. And we talked about this over the last month or so. Matt and I have been just trying to kind of break up our purpose statement for the West End Community Church. And we've tried to just in chunks talk about the different elements. We purpose to be a Spirit-led community. What does it mean to be Spirit-led? And then the second part of that, that draws people to Christ. And there's the evangelism portion. That's the going out, fulfilling the Great Commission. And then the last part, and helps them grow to be effective servants of the Lord. The whole idea of discipleship. Being led by the Holy Spirit to go and to share the gospel, and then not just leaving people there, but helping them to grow. And so, about all these different elements, and the last time that we talked about this, we talked about some of the things from Psalms about what the characteristics of a person that is in Christ is all about, and we talked about that, and I think it's important when we think about that. That last portion of our purpose statement, when we say, and helps them grow to be effective servants of the Lord, it's important that we don't just look outward, but we have to look inward, because it's just as important that we take care of our own relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ as it is that we help others. And so that's what we talked about. Today, I want to talk about something a little bit different. I want to talk about how we can help others, the people that are sitting right next to us. How do we help them grow? How can we do that? And maybe I want to take a little bit of a different, maybe I want to look at a little bit of a different angle, because I think it's important that we talk about how we can help people grow. See, because as believers in Jesus Christ, as people who attend the West End Community Church, we are called to meet the needs of those people that are outside the church, aren't we? We are called to share the gospel. We are called to bring them the good news about what happened and why. Every day we have opportunities to help set other people free, to help the Lord set other people free. And there, but the reality is that many believers in Jesus Christ live in this cold, dark place, this prison-like existence, where they are trapped by other people's expectations about the legalistic requirements, about performance, because everybody has in mind exactly what they think that a believer in Jesus Christ should look like. We all do. We have these presuppositions that we bring. And I'm not here to criticize that. That's not what I'm trying to do this morning. And you're going to have to just kind of stick with me, because there might be a few things that we talk about this morning that you're going to just shake your head and you're going to go, I disagree. And I am totally okay with you disagreeing with me. But I just want you to stick with me. And I want you to hear me out. It might be a little bit bumpy, but we'll get there in the end. Okay? All right. Good. Because there are some believers, I think, who have never experienced real freedom. The real freedom that salvation, the Bible promises that salvation can bring. Freedom that is guaranteed by Christ's sacrificial love and death on the cross. There are believers that have never experienced that because they are constantly trying to meet the requirements that are set forth not by the Word of God or by Jesus Christ, but by the people that they meet every Sunday in church. And that's a dangerous place to be. Because we need to, as a church, be free to accept people as they are and to help them grow. We want this church to be a place of grace, not a place of oppression, because that's what Jesus intended the church to be. He intended the church to be a place of equipping. He intended the church to be a place of love and acceptance, a place where you can deepen your relationship with the Lord, not a place where you constantly feel guilt. Not a place where you constantly feel like you're not measuring up. That's not what Jesus intended the church to be. And I think it's important that we recognize that. So in order to break the chains of, now let's just use that word. Let's just use the word legalism. In order to break the chains of legalism, We have to accept that this is going to be a place of grace. We have to be ourselves, and we have to let other people be themselves as well. We have to let other people be who God made them to be, just as we have to be who God made us to be. Let them look and dress differently than you, if that's what they want to do. Let them act a little bit differently, if that's what they want to do. Allow them to see things in another way. Consider their viewpoints. I mean, don't get me wrong here, okay? And I don't want you to get defensive or anything like that, but when I say let people look and act different, I'm not saying that, you know, we just let people do whatever they want. That is not what I'm saying. Because we never, ever, at the West End Community Church, as long as I'm here, and I know you would never allow this as well, we will never bend on the essentials of the gospel. We will never say that it is Jesus and something else that saves. It isn't. Jesus plus nothing. The absolute truth. We believe in absolute truth in this church, and we believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, and he died for you, and he died for me. And it is his sacrificial love that saves through the blood that he shed on the cross. We believe that, and we will never waver for it. We will never waver from it. We believe in the Word of God. We believe that it is vital and profitable for teaching. We believe that, and we won't waver from it. But unfortunately, there are some strong human tendencies that tend to interfere with the principles of letting grace flow freely. Chuck Swindoll said that when he was talking about grace, he said that there are a couple things that we as people do. The first thing is that we compare ourselves with others, which leads us to compete with them. And second, we attempt to control others, which results in manipulation. And that's dangerous, certainly in a church setting. So if you think about those two tendencies from a church standpoint, the whole idea of comparing ourselves to others. Most people tend to prefer associating with others with similar tastes, with compatible attitudes, with common interests. And as a result, and this happens all the time, as a result, if someone thinks differently or prefers different other entertainment or wears a different style of clothes or enjoys a different lifestyle, we start to get a little bit nervous, don't we? We do. Maybe it's something that's overt. Maybe it's something that's just internal. It just happens sometimes. It certainly happens to me. But let's take that idea a little bit further. Let's think about this. How would you feel if you knew somebody who played cards? Some people, their background, that was not something that you did, right? My Uncle Bill, he just passed away. He was vehemently against playing cards. But in my family, it wasn't a big deal. And I don't know where you stand on that. I don't really need to know that. How would you feel if there are people in this church or people that you know who you know are believers in Jesus Christ? How would you feel if you knew that they went out dancing? Oh, now we're getting uncomfortable. Everybody's, I can start to see the sweat. Oh boy. What about listening to secular music? What about skipping church on a Sunday to go to the zoo? Oh. Nobody in our church would do that. What about drinking wine with an evening meal? What about somebody who doesn't actually or struggles with having a quiet time in the morning? somebody who goes to a movie in a theater or has a lot of non-Christian friends, spends a lot of time with non-believers. What about somebody who has a different stance than you on non-resistance? What do you do with that? Those are uncomfortable questions. I know that. And those are just, we're just scraping the surface. I get that. But those, in all honesty, those are gray areas. Those are areas that the Bible really doesn't specifically discuss, believe it or not. Scripture does not pass moral judgment on those issues. So if the Bible refuses to comment upon external attributes and how things look from the outside, we judge by appearances rather than actualities. That's the truth. But we have to remember that God, remember 1 Samuel 16, verse 7? What does it say? It's when David, just before David was anointed, Samuel was there, and he had this kind of revelatory moment. And this is what verse 7 says. God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. See, God never meant for the church to be a religious factory. God never meant for the church to be churning out these cookie cutter Christians. He created the church to be a celebration of diversity. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Talks about people having different gifts, serving in different areas. That's diversity. See, we are called, and we are called to appreciate and to edify one another. We serve the body of Christ together with our unique gifts. But there are people, and I know I do, I am chief among them. I struggle with legalism sometimes. And I look down at other people because they don't believe exactly what I believe. Shame on me for thinking that way. People who struggle with legalism tend to assume that all believers have to be alike. They have to be united in conviction and uniform in appearance. But grace thinks outside of that mentality. It's different. Gracious people find pleasure in diversity. And the other side of that is the whole idea of controlling people. The desire to control others, the desire to bring people on board with our way of thinking. That's wrong. You got to believe what I believe. You gotta share my same convictions. That's manipulation. That's using fear tactics. That's using veiled threats. And whatever the method, whatever it is, however it looks, controlling, like comparing, kills grace. And we can't let that happen. So, I have spent a good portion of time already talking about my thoughts. But I want you to go to the Word because I want you to see what Paul had to say. So, if you would you turn to the book of Romans? And I want you to highlight some verses for us in Romans chapter 14. Because I think it gives us a really good synopsis of this whole idea. This idea of grace versus legalism or liberty or however you want to talk about it. We want to look at some, just in the rest of our time here, we want to look at just a few guidelines that are going to magnify grace. And what do those look like? Paul gives us four in chapter 14. And I want to highlight those for you. Look at chapter 14 of Romans and look at the first four verses. Here's what it says. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him. But not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains. And let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. That's the first thing that I want you to see. Paul says that one of the things that we, as the Wesleyan Community Church, as believers in general, need to be, if we're going to be a place of grace, is we need to be people who accept others. We need to accept others and understand that that is basic to letting them be who they are. Accepting others is basic to allowing people to be who they are. That's what Paul is talking about here. I mean, he is making reference in ancient terms to some of the things that we just kind of talked about, right? He's talking about eating meat. And the big problem, and we've talked about this before, but the big problem was when people started to follow Jesus Christ and become followers of the way, and the church began, there was a number of Jewish people who had followed for their whole entire lives a whole list of rules, and many of them were dietary. And so they were following these rules, and it was part of their belief system. This was part of the law, right? But Jesus came to perfect the law. Jesus came once for all to be the sacrifice. And so the law was made perfect in Jesus Christ, and it was no longer necessary because it is Christ and his blood that was shed on the cross that saves. And yet these two belief systems came to a loggerhead, and there were people that believed that it was Christ plus keeping the law. And Paul said, no, it's not that way. It's Christ plus nothing. But these Jewish people that had followed these ways for their whole entire lives, they struggled with that. And that's not a criticism. It's just the facts. They struggled. And Paul is talking about this, that there were people that were totally okay with eating meat, and there were people that weren't okay with it. But the problem was that the people who ate meat kind of scoffed at the people who didn't eat meat, and the people who didn't eat meat looked at the people who did eat meat and went, well, they're going to burn in hell. And there were these ideas, and they came to a loggerhead. You see, it's the same thing today. It's the same thing. It's just different situations. It's just different beliefs. Different issues, same principle. But we need to be able to accept others. The problem that was described here in Romans chapter 14, it was not exactly just a food problem. It was a problem that concerned love for the individual. When we don't accept the people that are around us because they believe differently, you know what happens? Conflicts arise and trouble starts. Paul says the one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat. That word, I read in the ESV and the NASV, and the NASB, it says regard with contempt. It means to look down on, to despise, to reject. Those words should never be a part of church unless we're talking about sin. Despise sin, but don't despise your neighbor or your brother or sister. No matter how strongly you feel about a certain cultural taboo, the Bible says that we aren't to judge people who think differently or disagree with us. Why do you think that is? Well, verse 4 indicates that other people's convictions regarding the non-essentials or the presuppositions of faith are going to vary from ours. And it is God's job to direct them. It is our job to accept them. Do you see the difference? Acceptance is basic to letting other people be themselves. Look at the next four verses. Verse 5 says, one person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live to the Lord. And if we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. That's the second thing. We need to accept others. And then the second thing is that we have to allow others to decide for themselves. Paul says that refusing to dictate to others allows the Lord freedom to direct their lives. Do you want to help others grow to be effective servants of the Lord? One of the ways that you can do that is you can offer them the freedom to grow up and to believe a little bit differently than you do. That's grace. That is grace. Let them blossom at their own pace. I read a book once and it talked about what's that phrase? He was talking about letting somebody be and letting them to this whole idea. And he said, let them bloom where they're planted. I like that. We need to let each and every one of us, everybody, we just got to bloom where we're planted. You know who planted you there? It was God. God planted you in the place that you are in. And he wants you to bloom where you're planted. Oftentimes, churches become less effective because we're busy digging up the roots and we're trying to move them over to where we think they should be. We need to remind ourselves that it was God that put me here and it was God that put you there. Let's bloom where we're planted. Accept, let others decide for themselves. Here's the third thing. Verse 9 says, for to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord, both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment sent of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to me, shall confess to God. So then each of us will give an account to himself, of himself to God. That's the third thing. We need to accept others. We need to allow them to decide for themselves, to bloom where they're planted, if you will. And then the third thing is that we have to refuse to judge. Well, that's hard, isn't it? I think it's hard. Freeing others means that we never assume a position that we're not qualified to take. We are not qualified to fill the position of judge. It says it over and over in Scripture. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. What? Seriously, this is a good question. What keeps us from being qualified to judge? I would say, we don't have all the facts. We don't have all the information. We don't have the big picture. We are unable to see into people's hearts. We cannot read their motives. We are finite creatures. We live with the blind spots and the blurred perspective. Most of all, we are human. And we make mistakes just like the people that we are tempted to judge. Does God's command that we are not to judge mean that we must always agree? No. And I get that maybe you don't even agree with everything I'm saying. Like I said at the beginning, I'm totally okay with that. And I get that there are people that see what other people are doing that are sitting here. And I get that you don't agree. And that's okay. It is okay not to agree. But it does mean this, that we have to be civil in our disagreements. And we have to extend grace. We are a body of believers. We are a family. And if we're going to remain a family, we have to extend grace. We have to do it. Accept others. Let people decide for themselves in those gray areas. And then refuse to judge them. And then here's the last thing, verse 13. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it is unclean. For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love by what you eat. You do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. So do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then, let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Here's the last thing that we need to express: our belief, our presuppositions. We need to express our liberty, our freedom wisely. That's the last thing. Yes, you know what? You may disagree with me on a certain issue, playing cards. But if you disagree with it, if that's something that you don't agree with, and I know it, I'm not going to invite you over to play poker. I don't play poker. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to make light of it. But seriously, we have to express our belief system wisely. If I know that there is somebody, one of my friends, who is dead set against something, And it's one of those gray areas. I'm not going to do something in front of him that's going to make him stumble. I'm not going to do something that's going to make him uncomfortable. That's what Paul is saying here. He's saying you got to express your belief system, your presuppositions. You got to do it wisely. Because if you don't, that's wrong. Through regeneration and sanctification, the bondage of sin, Jesus defeated it on the cross. It's completely destroyed. We are no longer bound by a certain set of rules. We have freedom in Christ. That's what the Word of God says. And our ultimate goal is not to please ourselves or to please others, but rather to please God. But one way to do that is to express your liberty, your freedom, your beliefs wisely. We enjoy our liberty without flaunting it, looking down our nose at people who are just too uptight or too conservative, or insert any word you want there. We need to express our liberty quietly and privately with those of like mind who aren't offended by the expression. I breezed through it really quickly, but that last verse is so remarkable. And you need to, I would write it on a card. I would put it on your mirror. I would do something where you can see it, because it is such a great verse. So then, let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. In another version, it says this: so then we pursue the things that make for peace, and I like this, and the building up of one another. Oh, if there's anything that the church is all about, it's the building up of one another, isn't it? It is. That's what the church is all about. Helps them grow to be effective servants of the Lord. The building up of a brother and sister in Christ. That's what the church is all about. We are here to be equipped for the service of going out these doors and sharing the love of Jesus Christ. We build each other up in here. We equip each other, and then we go. That's what the church is all about. So I would say what Paul is saying there in verse 19 is this: first, concentrate on the things that encourage peace and assist others' growth. Filter whatever you do through this twofold grid. Is it going to encourage peace, what you do? Or is it going to hurt and offend or help and strengthen? Is it going to encourage peace? Is it going to hurt and offend or help and strengthen? If you ask those questions and you can answer them honestly, you'll go a long way to helping the West End Community Church be a place of grace. And make sure you understand this. This is important. When you sabotage saints, when you do something that needlessly offends someone, a brother or sister in Christ, that's wrong, because you are hindering the work of God. If you go on in verse 20, Paul says, do not for the sake of food destroy the work of God. If everything is indeed clean, but it is wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he eats. That's just, you need to be discreet. You need to make sure that your life is a place of grace. and you express your belief system wisely. If you, I would say this, if you're okay with drinking a glass of wine or whatever, okay, and I'm not passing judgment one way or the other, but if you're okay with that, but you know that there is somebody else who is vehemently against that, whether drinking wine is sin or not, okay, whatever you believe. But if you know that you're okay with it and you know that there's somebody else that is totally not okay with it and you just drink that wine just right in front of them just to make them mad, just to make them uncomfortable, do you know what? That is sin. That's what Paul says in verse 20. Don't cause another brother to stumble. I like what John MacArthur said. I just make sure I get it right. He said, if people are needlessly offended by the gospel of Jesus Christ and his work on the cross, that is their problem. But if they are needlessly offended by the way that you live and the choices that you make, that is your problem. If we are going to be a spirit-led community that draws people to Christ and helps them grow to be effective ministers and servants of the Lord, we need to make sure that we express our liberty wisely, accept others, let people decide for themselves, refuse to judge, and then be wise in the way that you behave. Let's pray. God, what a good morning. We thank you for your word. It's so remarkable to be able to look into your word and to see the principles that were written thousands of years ago. Profitable for teaching. Relevant for 2019. God, I thank you for our church. I love these people and I know that you love them too. And Lord, I want our church to be a church that expresses grace. I want this to be a place of grace, a place of love, a place of acceptance. Because I know that if it's that, then we can go outside this place and we can bring people in. And we can draw them to you. And then we can help them grow as we ourselves grow to be effective for you and for your glory. And it's exciting, Father, that we even see Horace and Judith and their family doing exactly that. Hopefully that we have done something to help equip, to help you equip them. And now they are going out. And that's exciting. And we go with them. Heavenly Father, thank you for this place, for this space, and for these people. We pray your blessing on each and every one of them as they go and to be effective servants of you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.